Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
Well, good morning, church, to everyone who's sitting here and everyone who is at home. Truly, the cross of Jesus Christ is all the confidence that we need. And so today we are actually going to be talking from Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. And the title of our sermon today is Trash for Treasure. And you might be wondering why I'm holding a soccer ball in my hand. Well, that's because this is one of my greatest treasures. So kids, if you could come up to the screen, I want to show you this is my greatest treasure. It's a soccer ball. I play with it almost every single day. And before COVID, there used to be a few people I would get together with and play soccer with. I played with Mr. Mark before and a couple other people at church. But this is one of my greatest treasures in the whole wide world. So what's one of your greatest treasures? Maybe it's something around your house. Maybe it's an instrument you have, a ukulele. I'll show another one of my greatest treasures. It's this. This is a degree from a school called Calvin Theological Seminary. That's where I went to school up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So this represents many, many years of hard work, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in tuition payments, many, many, many hours of sleepless nights studying languages like Greek and Hebrew that I never use in real life. And I got this degree. And this degree helps me find jobs that align with what I studied. And so this is another one of my greatest treasures. Just this degree, because it reminds me of all the work that I did to kind of like get the degree. But in our story, in our passage today, one thing we're reminded of is that compared to knowing Jesus, all of our greatest treasures should feel like trash. Whenever we look at our greatest treasures, accomplishments in life, things we identify with, all of those things should actually feel a lot like trash compared to knowing Jesus. And so knowing Jesus should surpass all of our greatest treasures. Our greatest treasures should all feel like trash compared to knowing Jesus. So I ask you today, what's your greatest treasure? Does it really feel like trash compared to knowing Jesus? Or do we hang on to our greatest treasures in a way that makes them actually feel like the great treasure and makes knowing Jesus actually feel like trash? So that's what we'll be talking about today. So let's talk to everyone else real quick. And I want to kind of talk a little bit from Philippians chapter 3 about something that shares identity. I'm originally from Nigeria, and thank you, Mark, for praying this morning for Nigeria. But one thing about Nigeria is that it's a country that has many, many different people from many different cultures. So one of the ways that people identified with their cultures was through something called tribal marks. Tribal marks. And you can see on the screen a couple pictures. Hopefully you can see the marks on people's faces. Sometimes they were done on people's faces, and sometimes they were done on a body part, maybe like a shoulder or on the chest. And these tribal marks were a way to show that a person was from a certain ethnic group. A person was from a certain ethnic group. So they were for identification of maybe a person's family or heritage or ethnicity or clan. They confirmed full membership into that family. And so you knew that a person was a part of a certain family if they had certain marks on their faces. They were for protection. So sometimes when people would travel from one part of the country to another, it was important that people knew who you were so you did not get attacked. And this was just a very quick and visible way of showing that you are safe and from another person's tribe, so they saw you as a friend and not an enemy. And a lot of times they were for adornment and beautification. It was a way to kind of like show a certain type of skill of your tribal people and ethnic people in adornment and beautification. You pride yourself in your identity. These tribal marks show who you are. Now you might be wondering, hey John, why don't you have tribal marks? The Lord was gracious to me, and we kind of skipped a generation where these were common practices. But if you look at my dad actually has a few tribal marks, but his are pretty cool. They're just like a few lines on the top of his head, so you almost can't see them. But these were tribal marks that shaped the identity of people in Nigeria. They were done very early in a person's life. So very, very early in a person's life, you would get these marks. And as you grew and as the marks healed, that's how they would have this permanent feature on your face or on your body. People put a lot of confidence in their identity and the tribes that they are from. Now, there's something similar that's going on in our passage today. You see, for the people of Israel, a very big way of identifying that they were special and had a special identity that they put their confidence in was through the ritual of circumcision. Now, this was a way of being marked in the covenant of Abraham, the covenant that God made to Abraham long ago, that everybody who was a part of this people of Israel, when the firstborns would get circumcised, firstborn males on the eighth day, this showed that these were covenant people of God, people who God had promised through Abraham that he would make them into a great nation. But see, things were changing a little bit after Jesus Christ came. After Jesus came, it wasn't just the people of Israel that were brought into this covenant. It wasn't just the people who had gone through the ritual of circumcision that were called children of God, heirs of the promise. After Jesus came, this promise was being opened up to everybody who was a believer in Jesus Christ, whether they identified as Jewish or Gentile or not. The Jews were not the only ones who were called into this covenant with Jesus Christ. But you see, there were people who the Bible calls dogs. It called them dogs because they wanted to make sure that there was this identification that was kept. And so we read in Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Now you see, the term dog used in that time was not a very nice term. You know, now dogs have been sort of domesticated, and so we have really, really nice dogs. But over in that time, dogs were typically strays. And so you have Paul using this very strong term, a term that Jewish people usually used to declare outsiders as dogs. This was a term that Jewish folks said, okay, we are the true people, and those outside are dogs. But Paul is flipping that language around, and he's saying, no. The people who are so stuck in their identity as Jews, who want to make sure that everybody who is not a Jew finds their righteousness in being Jewish, those are the people who are dogs. Beware of dogs. Beware of people who tell you to put your faith and your trust and build your righteousness and your hope on anything else but faith in Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, beware. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the dogs because the dogs are people who do not worship by the Spirit of God. Beware of the dogs because the dogs are people who do not boast in Jesus Christ, but boast in themselves. Beware of the dogs because the dogs are people who put all their confidence in their own flesh, put all their confidence in their own identity, put all their confidence in their own accomplishments. And Paul says, beware. Beware of the dogs. The dogs are not truly following Jesus Christ. The dogs boast in their own selves. But then Paul goes on to get into this place where he gives a little bit of a humble brag, I call it. And so in the verses that are following, Paul actually starts to say, you know what? If you ever think that there was anyone else who should brag about these things, I'm the person. And so he starts to talk to them in verse 4, kind of going on, starting in verse 5, he says, I was circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. So what Paul is doing here is he's identifying with these things and he's saying, you know what? I actually have reason to boast and to put confidence in something other than the cross of Jesus Christ. And he lists all his accomplishments and he says, look at all these things about who I am. I'm an Israelite. But not only am I an Israelite, I'm from the coveted tribe of Benjamin. And not only that, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I come from this really great religious and political class called the Pharisees. These were the folks who knew all the laws, who enforced all the laws. These were the folks who everybody looked up to as righteous because of the things that they did. They prayed in public. They fasted. They were the ruling class of the people. And Paul says, I had reason to boast in that, in being a Pharisee. And he talks about his zeal. His zeal, he had passion. Passion that drove him to a place where he actually persecuted the church. And Paul says, all these things are things that I could have put my confidence in. But then he goes on to say, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss. So Paul is doing what we've shown today. He's saying, everything that I see as a marker of my identity, compared to the identity I get from the righteousness of Jesus Christ, I am really counting as trash. What is it for you, church? What are the things that you put your confidence in? What are the things that should really look like trash in your life compared to knowing Jesus Christ that you actually hold on to like treasure? What are those things? Well, let me tell you a little bit about a friend of mine. A friend of mine whose name is Self-Right. This is my friend Self-Right, and her last name is Usness. So her name is Self-Righteousness. You see, Self-Right is a person who has grown up in the church. Self-Right was baptized at a very, very young age. You see, Self-Right is the person in Sunday school class who knew all the answers. And I'm not just talking about the Jesus and Moses answers. Like, Self-Right knew the good theological answers to every question in Sunday school at a very young age. Now, Self-Right is also a person who's gone to Christian schools all the way from the cradle to college. And so she wears that as a badge of honor. Self-Right prays, and when she prays, her prayers never last anything less than 30 minutes. Self-Right is also a person who doesn't smoke, doesn't get drunk, has kept herself pure for the day of her wedding. And Self-Right is a person who never misses a Bible study, a community group, or a Sunday morning worship service. She serves faithfully as a deacon. And even though the church only allows deacons to serve for two terms, Self-Right was allowed to serve a third consecutive term because of how good she is. But you see, church, Self-Right puts confidence in all of those things. Self-Right does not know Jesus. Self-Right is busy identifying and putting her confidence in the things that she does in the church without a true, lasting, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and faith in who Jesus is. See, that's one way to be self-righteous. When we think that the things that we do for God are the things that save us. That is one of the deadliest sins that Scripture brings up for us. This idea of self-righteousness. Putting confidence in ourselves and the things we do for God, and not confidence in Jesus Christ and the things that He has done for us. But there's another side to self-righteousness that is equally as dangerous. And that is the self-righteousness of a person who may not be as holy as self-right in here, but a person who thinks that they can do everything that they need to do to clean up their mess. A person who may not have the same amount of church knowledge, but a person who looks at all the bad things that they have done and says, you know what? I need to clean up this mess myself. I can do it myself without the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and His resurrection that raises me from the dead. I just need to work harder. I just need to try harder. What version of self-righteousness displays itself in your life today? Are you the person who places all your confidence in the good things that you do for Jesus, which are all good, but are not things that we should be putting our confidence in? Or are you on the other side, a person who has failed Jesus so much, but you're still trying to work in that failure to get to a place of righteousness? Both of these things are a way of putting our confidence in our own righteousness and not the righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. But you see, I love the recognition that the Spirit of God gives the Apostle Paul to remind him that all of those things that he counted gain are now considered loss. And indeed, I count, in verse 8, he says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Count them as rubbish and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Paul recognizes that everything that he has once put his confidence in, he needs to consider rubbish. Now, in our preaching team meeting on Tuesday night, we actually established that the word there is actually smoothed over a lot in our English translations. The word in verse 8 that says rubbish, when you look at the original languages, it's actually translated a little stronger than rubbish. Let me paint a picture that maybe is appropriate for this space. Whenever you go to the bathroom, you can either go number one or number two. Paul's not talking about number one, folks. He considers everything that he once thought gain as poop, as dung, worthless, worthless things, compared to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. Can we say that about the things that God has blessed us with? Do we see them as rubbish? Do we see them as dung? Do we see them as poop compared to what it means to know Christ? When we look at them and we think, hey, I might be able to put confidence in this degree or in that way that I show up at the church, or in this way that I'm trying to make myself better, Do we actually look at them and say, no, all these things, I can't put my faith in these things. They're only worth being flushed away, never to be gone back to, compared to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. There's a song that I learned when I was young, a song called Knowing You, Jesus. Knowing You, Jesus. And it's a song that really points to the importance of knowing Christ, our Savior, and our Lord. And these are the words of the song. It says, all I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're my rest, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. And it goes on in the second verse of that song to say, now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you and known as yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all-surpassing gift of righteousness. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're my rest, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your sufferings, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to live and never die. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're my rest, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. See, Paul wants us to know Jesus that deeply. To know Jesus in a way that makes us feel that everything else we've accomplished in life, everything else we identify with in life, feels like trash compared to knowing Jesus. Paul wants us to be people of crucifixion and resurrection. People who know how hard and who join in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. The sufferings that call us to consider all of our greatest treasures trash. The suffering that calls us to reach out to people who are in pain and who are suffering. The suffering that calls us to let go of all the things that we build our lives upon. But a suffering that leads to resurrection, to new life, a life where we know that these things are good gifts given to us by God only so that we can know Jesus more, so we can become people of resurrection. And that's what people know about what Paul talks about in chapter 2, where he talks about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who had every right to hold on to his treasure, but let go of that treasure so that we can become the righteousness of God. You see, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is a man who traded his treasure for our trash, so that we can trade our trash for his treasure. Jesus Christ traded his treasure for our trash, so that we could trade our trash for his treasure. And church, there is nothing more important in life than trading your trash for the treasure of righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Church, there is nothing more important than trading your trash for the treasure of righteousness that comes from obedience to Jesus Christ. There is nothing more important than knowing and aligning yourself with crucifixion so that you can become part of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what is it today, church? What's the trash that you are holding onto like treasure? Remember that Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior, traded his treasure for your trash so that you can trade your trash for his treasure. So over the last couple weeks, my daughters and my wife and I have been growing butterflies in our house. And so we have this nice little space in our house where these butterflies are growing. And we've watched them develop from very mingy and small and nasty caterpillars into bigger, fatter caterpillars, into cocoons and chrysalises. And now they've started popping out as these beautiful butterflies that have orange and gold and black on their wings. But the thing about these butterflies is that they had to pass through a period of death, a period where they had no life, a period where they were being transformed. Without that period of metamorphosis, there's no way we can get beautiful butterflies. Without trading what seemed like life for what seemed like death in their cocoons, there's no way that they would become beautiful butterflies. So I encourage you today, church, there is something beautiful that God wants to do with your trash, but you need to let go of that trash. You need to stop looking at that trash like treasure and start looking at our own righteousness as the filthy rags that they really are. Allow Jesus Christ, through the power of his crucifixion and resurrection, to wrap you in a cocoon where the Spirit of God can do the work of transforming your trash to treasure. Let Jesus Christ be the only one that you put your faith and your confidence in. Receive righteousness from him that is better than any righteousness that you can get on your own. And know that the Spirit of God is at work in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is turning our trash into Jesus Christ's treasure. And the Spirit of God is very, very good at doing that. Surrender to the process. Allow Jesus take your trash and make it his treasure. Allow him take your sin and give you his righteousness. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, I bring you this message. Amen. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you so much that all the riches of the world were yours. All the beauty of every galaxy you held in your hands. But for our sake, you decided to submit yourself to a process of becoming trash. You traded your treasure for the trash of a human body broken by the weight of the world's sin. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, that resurrection power, We have confidence in the cross of Jesus Christ. And know, O Lord, that that process of submitting yourself and becoming obedient to death, trading your treasure for our trash, is transforming us into beautiful people who are righteous, not by our own standards and not by our own doing, but righteous because of the faith that we have in the finished and complete work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's where we boast. That's where we put our confidence, in knowing Jesus Christ, knowing the power of his blood, knowing the power of his resurrected life. Come, Lord Jesus, and make all of us new. Trade our trash for your treasure. We need you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.